in the cultural district in Pittsburgh. And for families in particular, we have two other shows coming up. And the first is Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus from the Kennedy Center on March 27th. And that's for littler kids. It's a beautiful musical interpretation of this book by the same title by Mo Willems. And then following that, our friend Pete the Cat is coming back to the Byam as well. And that is also a musical interpretation of a book by the same title. So it's really exciting to be bringing these events back for families. It's been a long time, and you know, we all need a little imagination and creativity and inspiration, and that can happen in the theater. So it's really exciting to have all of this in the works and to welcome everyone back.
Absolutely, and it's good to just get outside of yourself, get a little input from beyond yourself and the cocoon that maybe you found yourself living in for the past months or even years in some cases. So enjoy the cultural district, beautiful atmosphere, and you can get more information at trustarts.org. Pam, it's really good to talk to you. It's been way too long.
Good to talk to you too. Thank you.
Thanks. And that production, once again, is called Cirque Mechanics at the Byam Theater, February 12th at 7 o'clock. Sun's up, and we're glad you are. Tommy mentions he's watching chickadees from his icy patio today. And good morning to Randy and Polly. Randy writing that he spent a lot of time in Costa Rica back in the 80s. And I think this is Randy and hopes to get back there someday. So you've got some good company, Larry and Van, and knowing that Randy of Randy and Polly and Emlinton have spent some time right where you are.
My only sunshine, you make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine. The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamt I held you in my arms. When I awoke, dear, I was mistaken, and I hung my head. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when the skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine. For you and for me, you are. my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray, just like today. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine.
That's the group Harmonica Pocket at the Saturday Light Brigade and broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger and you. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, WMCK.FM McKeesport, RadioPhoenix.org, loudspeaker.fm Fort Collins, Colorado, and slbradio.org/radio.
Sounds just like the falling of my tears. But I know just what to do for getting over you with my new friend, whiskey, wine, and beer. Honky tonk night, that's my new life. I'm a whiskey drinking fool, sitting on an old bar stool. But the good news is your memory's fading fast.
McCurry. You say McCurry and I say McCurry, along with Vince Gill.
Boom, boom. How much is that dog in the window?
And that song is called Honky Tonk Nights.
How much is that dog in the window? I do hope that dog is for sale. How much is that dog in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that dog in the window? I do hope that dog is for sale.
Well, the sound hound is here.
Take a trip to California.
Are you ready for him? He's going to present a sound to you very shortly. You can try to identify it. And if you do, a Saturday Light Brigade charge will come your way.
Headliner joins you in supporting SLB Radio and Youth Express. Headliner is a cloud-based software that media makers can use to add video to podcasts, music, and other audio projects, making it easier to share their creations via social media, YouTube, and websites. Headliner also offers a photo and video library, text captioning, and simplified audio-video editing. Additional information is available at headliner.app.
How much is that dog in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that dog in the window? I do hope that dog is for sale.
I don't want a bunny or kitty. Yeah. I don't want a parrot that talks. I don't want a bowl of little fishes. You can't take a goldfish for long.
How much is that?
Well, the sound hound is here. And he is about to present a sound. Ricky, could you sort of distract the sound hound for just a minute? Could you get him to look over at you? If you get him to look at you, okay, good. And as he's looking at you, I'll do what I can to see if I can get... here, boy. Come on over. That's it. That's it. Come on over, and let me see if I can... Easy. Got it a little bit early this time. Let's give him a little kibble here, and you enjoy the kibble, and we'll feature the sound. Thank you for doing just that. And here's the sound that the sound hound has brought for you. Can you identify this? 412-200-5975. See if you can identify this sound that the sound hound brought, and we'll make that just a little bit louder to see if that helps. Here it is. 412-200-5975. Good luck. Do you know it? Here it is again. That's our sound from the Sound Hound.
Till that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. If there is a load you have to bear that you can't carry, I'm right up the road. I'll share your load if you just call me. Just call me. Just call me. Come on and call me. If you need a friend, call me. Oh, darling, just call me. Call, call me. Call.
I look high, I look low, I'm looking everywhere I go, looking for a home in the heart of the country. I'm gonna move, I'm gonna go, I'm gonna tell everyone I know, looking for a home in the heart of the country. Heart of the country where the holy people grow. Heart of the country, smell the grass in the meadow. I want a horse, I want a sheep, I want to give me a good night's sleep, living in a home in the heart of the country. Tell everyone I know I'm living in a home in the heart of the country. Heart of the country where the holy people grow. Heart of the country, smell the grass in the meadow.
Tell a horse when you want it to stop. That's it. That's John Pizzarelli. And we are in the midst of our Sound Hound game. We do not have a correct answer yet. Here, boy. Here again is the sound. Listen carefully. One more time. We've had a lot of interesting guesses. Stu thought it might be opening a car's glove box, the glove compartment. My insurance company just sent us new insurance cards, which are there in the glove box as of Thursday. He writes, it's not that. Caden thinks it's cracking something. And Caden, I hear that. Don't you hear that? And Annie said, I could hardly hear it. So my guess is as good as his. Hopefully you heard it a little bit better that time. Bruce thought it might be popping the trunk open on the car. I kind of hear that at the beginning. But there's a little more to it than that. John and Carrick thought it might be a doorknob. Tommy guessed a cash register. Turkey City Arn said a slide cycling through a slide projector. Good answer, but that's not it. 412-200-5975. Charlie thought it might be a pinball machine. And Bill in Homer City, good to hear from you, thought it might be a paper towel dispenser. Not that. Here it is again, quiet on the set. Let's listen. Zach said windshield wipers. Not that. John, another guess of cash register. Annie thinks it's flipping a book closed. Not that. And we still do not have the correct answer yet. Here is the sound. 412-200-5975, the number. We're going to leave it out for a little bit longer. Ooh, Randy and Polly said it sounds like hitting eject on a cassette player. It's not that. That's a great sound. And Jeff in Saco, Maine, says it sounds like putting a VHS tape into a player. Oh, Ricky just got the correct answer. I saw a huge smile on her face as somebody got it. Tom thinks it might be a gumball machine or one of those things you put money in and use a device to get a prize, like the grabbing robotic arm, I think is what he's thinking of. But it looks like the correct answer just came in. And if it is the correct answer, it's the only one so far. It is interesting to note all the guesses we had. That you would hear inside of a car, like rolling the window or popping the hood of a trunk or the glove box of a car, because this is indeed a noise you would hear inside of a car. Typically, before you were getting out of the car. Bob in Emlinton thought it might be, that's a great guess, a typewriter tab. Not that. Oh, Linda thought it might be a Viewmaster. What a great guess. It's not a Viewmaster projector. I kind of wish it was now. Time for just a few more guesses on our Soundhound puzzle. Zach just said, oh, it's this. And Zach, you're exactly right. And Bill was excited to get a correct answer scored when he told Ricky what it was. Bill is in Homer City, and he got the correct answer. Well done, Bill. Tom thought it might be shifting in the park or the emergency brake. Not that. Randy and Polly in Emlinton just got it. Tommy thought locking the car doors. And Drew. Good morning, Drew. Drew just got it. Well done, Drew. Listening in Oakmont, I do believe. And Annie, you got it as well. It's the sound. Do you want me to tell you? Or do you want to have another minute to guess? Randy and Polly just got it. It's the sound of a seatbelt being unreleased. That one's a little tough, but there it is. Here it is again. The taking off of the seatbelt when you hear it inside of your car. Congratulations. If you were able to come up with the correct answer. And I think I've acknowledged all of our correct answers. If I missed you, it's busy this morning, and we're happy to have things so busy. We're going to talk a little bit now about Black History. It's Black History Month, but we scheduled this feature independently of our celebration of Black History Month. But it's still all about Black History. We tend to celebrate that all year long, around along with history. Locally and of the human condition in general. And we're so happy to have Jaquay Edward Carter with us. He has got a special presentation coming up on February 9th. And we're going to invite your calls for some of this segment, too. It's Historic Homestead, a Black History Celebration of Song, celebrating the history of Black music in Homestead. Jaquay, I'm sorry you're not here in person with us, but I'm glad you're here nonetheless. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for having me, Larry. I couldn't make it in for the weather.
No, it's the good. We wrote Jaquay last night, and we said, you know, if we have to do this by phone, so be it. Better safe than sorry. The roads are a little slippery out there this morning. A lot slippery, truthfully. How did you get so into history? You know, Jaquay is a historian. The Hazelwood Historical Society is his passion. When did this all start for you?
Well, actually, this has been a lifelong journey for me, basically, with always being inquisitive and listening to my elders about some of the stories that they remember about growing up. And that really did lead to me doing a lot more scholarship and research around specifically Hazelwood, because that is where both sides of my family, my dad and my mom's side, my mom even being in Glen Hazel, just above Hazelwood. But it was that area that, you know, basically led to me being, you know, born. So I really wanted to see how that all came about and how my family ended up there. And in the process, you know, found out a lot more about the community and other families who also settled there. And it really was a time when Hazelwood's history was really underserved and not really being highlighted enough. So, you know, ever since then, it really did explode into, you know, a bit of a community activated, you know, sort of organization, you know, and since 2018 has been involved in a lot of development within the community, working with a lot of the artists in the community, and basically people from all over the country, you know, who have been interested in Hazelwood's history and its decline as well, but also its recovery. And you know, I'm happy to be a part of that as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting development there now. Can you share any information about how it came to pass that your family came to Hazelwood?
Oh, absolutely. Well, on my mom's side, who did come to the area first, they settled in Glen Hazel. They were originally living in the Homestead area, which is now the waterfront, and that actually was expanded upon by the mill in the early 1940s, between 1941 and 42. And that actually displaced around 8,000 homesteaders, where many of them actually moved across the Monongahela River into a defense housing project called Glen Hazel Heights Project. And that's actually where my mom's side of the family would settle. And my mom would also attend Gladstone High School, which is down in Hazelwood. And my dad's family had moved from the north side of Pittsburgh over to Hazelwood in 1970. And my dad also attended Gladstone. And that is where my parents were to meet in 1971. And basically, they became high school sweethearts and, you know, are still together, you know, 50 years later. But that basically, you know, led to me, of course. And looking into Gladstone, just for instance, I found out that August Wilson, you know, the famous playwright, attended that school. But this was not something that was widely known in Hazelwood. You know, I don't even think my parents knew that, you know, being alumni of Gladstone, I'm not sure if they knew anything about August Wilson's connection there. So it was pretty cool to let them know that, you know, once I was able to research and find that out myself.
What did your dad do for a living once he got out of high school?
My dad actually was going to enter into the military service, but he was not able to. So he did just go into the workforce after school. And it was around the time when the steel industry was on its decline, you know, around the mid-1970s. So he really didn't get a chance to work in the steel mill, which would have been probably one of the best jobs that he could have got, you know, just right out of high school, like a lot of other folks up until the 1980s when it would totally decline. So, you know, he basically found odds and then he worked in restaurants and, you know, did a lot of cooking and became a chef, actually. So a little different than, you know, the ideal steel making sort of jobs that were available at that time. But, you know, Hazelwood did suffer a decline of the steel industry, basically, like I said, in the 1980s. And, you know, it's still in its recovery phases trying to, you know, develop the area without displacing any of the residents there.
Yeah, I asked, I was curious because doing the math and kind of thinking of the timeline, I was thinking your dad and mom would have gotten out of school right around the time that activities were starting to run down a little bit at the JNL and then LTV steel right. plant in Hazelwood, which employed so many men and women over the years and just kind of tore the heart right out of the engine that kept Hazelwood going. So you ended up, though, expanding your studies to Homestead, and in particular, coming up on Wednesday at 6 o'clock at the Homestead branch of Carnegie Library, Historic Homestead, a Black History Celebration of Song. I'd like to focus on that after a short station break. So we can talk more about what you have planned for that. So if that's okay with you, we'll come right back after a short break. Hang on.
Yes, thank you.
Jaquay Edward Carter is here along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings on a great group of radio stations and internet radio stations and streaming services, including slbradio.org/radio. Jaquay Edward Carter live with us by phone today, and he is an historian. He's been at this for a long time. We enjoy working with Jaquay a great deal because of what he has in his head. Jaquay has forgotten, literally, has forgotten. How does that expression go? I forget. You've forgotten more than I know, or something like that. I'm looking. You know what I mean. He's the founder and president of the Greater Hazelwood Historical Society of Pittsburgh. Tell us about what you're doing at Homestead.
Yes. I just wanted to add one thing that I wanted to add from the last segment is that my mom actually, out of Gladstone High School when she graduated, she first worked for Alcoa, and then she did take a job as a switchboard operator for J&L, working up there, up above the top of Bex Runner Road. There was a facility, a research facility on East Agnew Road up there. So she did work for J&L out of high school before, you know, the decline. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
I was going to ask, I'm glad you did, because I meant to ask you about your mom and whether she fared a little bit better with respect to J&L. I'm glad.
Yes, and you always think of the men, you know, who worked there, but obviously, like you said before, some women worked there as well. My mom was one of those women who worked for J&L, so I just wanted to mention that as well. But as I was talking before about my family originating in Homestead, being there in the 1940s, first, you know, moving up from South Carolina, you know, through the Great Migration, you know, and then by the 1920s, ending up in Braddock, where my great-grandfather worked at Edgar Thompson, and then he was able to get a job at Homestead Works. And then by 1942, they were relocated over to Glen Hazel. And, you know, I told you that whole story about how my parents met. But then after Hazelwood's decline in the 1980s, my parents actually moved to Homestead, you know, so it would have sort of been coming back to Homestead, you know, like my ancestors had lived there previous generations. So by the 1990s, I had actually, you know, lived in Homestead and attended Homestead schools. So I naturally got interested in Homestead history, you know, at that time, at an early age. And I always wondered, you know, why some of the buildings were named after certain people or the streets. So I really have been looking into that a lot, and particularly the Black history of Homestead, where you have the Tooney family, you have the Burwell family, you have the Morton family, so many African-Americans who actually were instrumental in founding a lot of the Black churches in the community, and a lot of the fraternal organizations, you know, for African-Americans there. So there was a very large African-American population in Homestead, basically towards the end of the 19th century. And by 1900, you had about 600 African-Americans in Homestead, which was quite different than Hazelwood at the time, because Hazelwood's African-American population would sort of be at its height by the 1950s. Or 60s after the Hill District, you know, would displace a lot of African Americans and send them over to these other parts of Pittsburgh. So, Homestead, I did find that there was a longer and a more rich history as it pertains to African Americans in this region.
And one of the great voices of music in Homestead was Maxine Sullivan. And can you tell us a little bit about her?
Yes, Maxine Sullivan. She did grow up in Homestead. She actually, like a lot of the other artists that I will be talking about on Wednesday, they were born in the South and then they migrated to Homestead, primarily because of the Homestead Steelworks, which was considered the largest in the world at that time. So there was a lot of work, and it did draw a lot of people from the South primarily, who, you know, ideally they would come in to break up strikes for some of the more seasoned Eastern European workers that have been working there maybe for 20 years or so. And then they would, you know, they would have problems with some of the conditions there and the wages, and they would go on strike. So they would bring in and seek down into some of these southern cities, these African-Americans who were mostly sharecroppers. Many of them, you know, did have slaves, you know, as ancestors, enslaved people as their grandparents or parents even when they first got up here. So this was a really big opportunity and such a better way of living here in the North, although they did, you know, suffer discrimination here, but it wasn't as bad as the South, of course. So it drew a lot of African Americans, including the Williams family, which Maxine Sullivan actually was born as Marietta Williams. So she attended Homestead High School along with the other artist that I will be talking about, who is Mary Caldwell Dawson, Dexter Harrison, and the Ogden Singers. They all have a connection to Homestead High School. So that was one of their first opportunities to sing. And also the Black churches that I had mentioned, Park Place AME, Clark Memorial, and Second Baptist. Those were also, you know, places where a lot of these performers would get their start and, you know, sort of receive their first applause in the music industry. So I felt there was a lot of connections between these four artists and, you know, Maxine Sullivan and Dexter Harrison had performed together, you know, on some reunion tours that were held in Homestead throughout the years, inviting them back after they had gotten a lot of success. So Maxine Sullivan, when you think of Homestead entertainers, she is, you know, one of the first ones to come up. She basically would have been maybe one of the most famous out of the names that I mentioned. But I also tried to talk about some of the other singers that maybe people don't know as much about as well.
Well, let's just take a quick listen to Maxine now. I think folks might remember this song. I know you will. This was a bit of a hit for her.
Work and work for years and years. You're always on the go. You never take a minute off. Too busy making dough. Someday you say you'll have your fun when you're a millionaire. Imagine all the fun you'll have in your old rocking chair. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. While you're still in the paint, the years go by as quickly as a week. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think.
Now, that's a newer recording, but I picked it because to give you a sense of her endurance, that song has millions of plays on modern streaming services like Spotify. It just keeps going and going and going. But here, let's find a bit of an older one from her in our library, just to give you a sense of her versatility. Here's a little bit of an older one here. Honeysuckle Rose.
This is a song about a fella named Mr. Rose. Let's call him Sam Rose. Have no use for other sweets of any kind since the day you came around. From the start, I instantly made up my mind. Sweeter sweetness can't be found. You're so sweet, can't be beat. Nothing sweeter ever stood on feet. Every
What an entertainer. You can tell she likely has the audience in the palm of her hand as she performs, doesn't she?
Yes. You know, and she would basically perform, you know, up close to her death, you know, and, you know, up throughout the 1980s. So such a long career, you know, beginning in the 1930s, you know, over 50 years. So definitely enduring. Such a beautiful voice she had.
Yeah, and just a huge personality. Who else? Tell me about the Ogden Family Singers. I don't know much about them.
The Ogden Family Singers are the least known of the four that I was featuring. And they actually started out in Homestead. The mother of the family, Mrs. Devontae Ford, she is a Homestead native. She attended Homestead High School along with Mary Caldwell Dolson, Jester Hairston, and Maxine Sullivan. But then she was able to put her children into a singing group, which toured all over the tri-state area, and even New York and California. And I found, you know, clippings of their performances. I mean, at least 50 different performances that they did around Ohio, you know, and throughout Pennsylvania. Which is amazing, you know, and they actually were employed by the U.S. Steel and Homestead Works. So they would actually perform on the weekends, you know, for steel workers and different events that they would have done at the Homestead Works, in addition to their touring of all different churches around the area. So I found them to be quite fascinating. And there was even... The youngest singer of the group was 4 years old, and he was known at the time as the youngest tenor in the world. But they, from all accounts, I mean, they were so good, you know, and so impactful. This went on between the 1940s and 1960s. So there are some pictures of them. They were listed amongst really popular local artists and even had a spot in the newspaper where people could vote in, you know, and check off their picture as their favorite artist. I'm not sure if they won that contest, but they were really, you know, like a phenom at that time, you know, just these young singers and a family, but they were gospel singers. And sometimes they would be known as the sacred singers. So I just found them so fascinating. And once, you know, on Wednesday, when the attendees see the pictures of the family, I think they'll fall in love with them just like I did.
Wow. And I looked for music by the Ogden Family Singers and couldn't find anything. Now, Jester Hairston has some recordings out that I was able to find, and I think he's primarily a gospel artist. Is that correct?
Yes, he actually was trained, you know, as a classical singer originally at Tufts Music College there in Massachusetts, and he was the only African American student at that time. But then he went on to be a choral director, and he did a lot of voiceover work in Hollywood. So there's a Sidney Poitier film, Lilies of the Field, very popular, where a song called Amen is sung at the end, at the climax. And it's actually Jester Hairston's voice who's singing, but yeah. You know, Sidney Poitier is...
Let's hear that for just a second. Here it is.
Amen, amen. Down at the Jordan, where John was baptizing and saving all sinners.
Amen, amen, amen.
See him at the seaside,
amen,
talking with the fishermen,
amen,
and making them disciples.
Amen.
marching in Jerusalem.
Hey. That's Homestead's Jester Hairston singing there. And who knew there was a Pittsburgh connection to that song?
Oh, I know. And that's one of my favorite songs, you know, of all time. Actually, the version by The Impressions from 1963, I'm familiar with, and, you know, has become very popular since. But to hear him singing that, it is so great. And growing up in Homestead, you know, in addition to Hazelwood, but growing up in Homestead as well, I heard the name Jester Hairston, you know, mentioned. And there was actually an 1980s sitcom called Amen.
Oh, yes.
Where he was in with
Sherman Hemsley.
Sherman Hemsley, exactly. So I knew of him from that show, but I didn't know anything about, you know, his education or things that he had done with Amos and Andy, the TV show in the 1950s. So he was quite impressive, you know, when researching him and learning all about his accolades. I mean, he was world renowned, you know, for his choral direction, and, you know, so inspiring, you know, for me, you know, just all around entertainer, triple threat, you know, what he was able to do. So very interesting.
This is Jaquae Edward Carter you're hearing right now. And if you're enjoying what you're hearing, I hope you'll consider going to Carnegie Library of Homestead. Jaquae will be there to present this beautiful presentation, Historic Homestead, a Black History Celebration of Song. We've linked to a website that has information about how you can attend one time only, at least this time around. It's going to be happening February 9th at 6 o'clock. I can't believe all the time has flown by. I knew it was going to. I'll just, for a moment, if you have any questions of Jaquae that you would like to ask about Homestead or Hazelwood, we'll open up our lines quickly as we recap 412-200-5975 or 1-888-752-7234. I'll also point out, if you go to crossingfences.org, if you search on Jaquae, you'll be able to learn more about him because we collected his oral history years back, and you'll be able to take a listen to that. But if you have any questions about the Steel Valley and the great contributions it made in the areas of music, we don't talk about that very much, feel free to give us a call. We didn't mention Mary Cardwell Dawson much, and I don't know much about her. What was her music like?
Oh, my goodness. Mary Cardwell Dawson is one of the most fascinating of the four as well. Most people do know of her from her founding of the National Negro Opera Company and the National Negro Opera House, located on Apple Street and in the Lincoln Homewood area. But she actually got her start in Homestead. She was also one of the families who would move, you know, to Homestead to, you know, for the steel jobs in the Great Migration, and she became a music teacher around Homestead, and she actually held her first performance, her first really large performance. She was a pianist and opera singer. Her first big performance was actually held at the Homestead Carnegie Library's music hall.
Oh, wow.
In 1920. And it was, I was able to find a picture of her, and I will show this on the slide at the program, but it was so fascinating at a time when African Americans weren't really allowed inside of the library, you know, to check out books or to use the pool or the athletic facilities. But she was invited, and members of her race, this is how the newspaper clipping stated it, although they had to sit up in the balcony, you know, because of discrimination at that time. But they were able to come and see her, and she was invited to perform there in that space. in 1920, which was one of the first African Americans, you know, to ever grace that stage. So I found that to be really fascinating. And then she would go on from Homestead, you know, to sort of be known around the country and the world for her work in founding the National Negro Opera House. But it all started in Homestead, so.
I had no idea Jim Crow happened in libraries.
I actually didn't know that either until recently when I shared some information about me working with the library, and people told me that their parents, who are still alive today, weren't allowed to go into the library, you know, in the 1950s, you know, and 60s.
Wow.
I thought it was free to the people, you know, just from, you know, how it says on the front of the building. But, you know, the Jim Crow laws definitely did affect that as well.
It never occurred to me to think in that way, that would be a case. That's wow. That is really something. I knew this was going to fly by, Jaque. We're going to do some more things together this month as well. But let's recap. This is going to be happening at Carnegie Library of Homestead, open to all now, February 9th at 6 o'clock. That's this coming Wednesday. And you can attend and learn more about a Black History Celebration of Song with Jaque Edward Carter. Anything else you want to add before we conclude for today?
I just wanted to say that I wanted to extend my gratitude to the Carnegie Library of Homestead for, you know, allowing me to have this presentation, and also, you know, with wanting to partner with me on additional programming and working in the archives that they have there, which they do have a lot of Maxine Sullivan's personal effects and a lot of artifacts from her, which sort of sparked this whole presentation off was the archives there and seeing a lot of Maxine Sullivan's stuff there. So I'm really looking forward to this, and we'll try to do this again maybe in June for Black Music Month. Might do something in regards to Homestead's Black history in music again.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Jaque Edward Carter. Good luck February 9th at 6 o'clock at Carnegie Library of Homestead, and we'll talk again soon.
Yes, looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Larry and Ricky and everyone at FLB.
Our pleasure. Take care.
I throw a stone into the water. I watch the circles as they grow. While the holidays and birthdays leave their footprints like soldiers in the snow. The flowers and the icicles are spokes in a wheel that has no end. And the passing of the seasons makes me think about circles again. The sun and the moon, circles tracing circles in the sky. While old people and children look at each other in the mirror, in the eye. Like the turning of a water wheel, like the voice of a long lost friend. When I think about my old friends, I think about circles again. Round and round and round in circles we spin. Over and over, we end up right where we begin. Those things that never change, those things that are never the same. Though it looks like a straight road, I'm traveling in circles again. these round coins in my hand. There's so much that I do that they ask me. What goes around will come around. There's wheels turning night and day right past me. I had a dream long ago. I was hiding, but a clock always found me. And now everywhere I look, I see circles around me. Round and round and round in circles we spin. Over and over, we end up right where we begin. Those things that never change, those things that are never the same. Though it looks like a straight road, I'm traveling in circles again. Round and drowned in circles we spin. Over and over, we end up right where we begin. Those things that never change, those things that are never the same. Though it looks like a straight road, I'm traveling in circles again. Though it looks like a straight road, I'm traveling in circles again.
The Saturday Light Brigade, that's Harvey Reed. Thanks again to Jaquay Edward Carter for being here with us again. We're going to celebrate birthdays, and then we're going to play Guess Who in just a moment. Thank you for being with us on this chilly, snowy, cold day. Maria has her birthday today. In Harmony, happy birthday to you, Maria, from your family. Sarah of Freedom, all of the Bubs, wish you a happy birthday today. Vincenza, or Vincenzia, that is, happy birthday to you from Michelina. And Diana of Monroeville from Kevin and Beth. On tomorrow, Keith, happy birthday, Keith, and Maggie of North Huntington. John from Teresa, Mikey of Highland Park, Madison of Allison Park, and Tom of Mount Pleasant. Coming up on Monday, we have Lucas of Valencia from Nate, Karen, Alyssa, and Laura. Lily of Swiss Elm Park from your whole family. Also on the 7th, we have Tashawn of Brighton Heights, Kippy of Roslyn Farms, Sadie from your family, Benjamin from June and Bill, Cynthia from your friends and family, including Joan and Lisa. On February 8th, the biggest of my nephews, Jay of Youngstown, celebrates a birthday. Happy birthday to you, Jay. And Ricky says happy birthday to you, too. Monica from Dad John, Louise of Regent Square, from Dad Joe, Tim from Gretchen, Katie and Brian, Julia from Dad, Mom, Peter, Andrew, and Maria. Ed and Deb have an anniversary on February 8th. Sam of Crafton, your family wishes you a happy birthday. Brendan of Allison Park also celebrates on February 8th. And there are more. More and more and more birthdays to celebrate. And on February 9th, we have Nick of West Mifflin from Brother Tom and all your cousins on Shea Mountain. Anne from Dan, Jim, and Beth, Liam of Verona, from Mom and Dad, Diana of Avalon, from Gary and Stephen, and Madeline of Mercer, from Jackson and family. On the 10th, we have Fred of Crescent, who also got the Soundhound today, Sherry of Elwood City, David of San Francisco, Bob from Joanne, and Scott from Ellen, Laura, and Andy. And finally, Friday, Sarah from Kelsey of Jeanette, Francie of Cannonsburg, John from Annie, Quay from your family, Catherine of O'Hara, Tom of Glassport, Garrett of McMurray, Emily from Mom and Dad, and Gussie and Memmie of Georgia, from Chris, Steve, and Lauren. Send your birthdays to us at slbradio.org/birthdays. We'll announce them the Saturday of or before their occurrence. If you include the birthday person's address, we'll make sure they receive a card before their birthday, hand-delivered by a uniformed governmental employee sloshing through sleet and snow and all sorts of weather. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, WMCK.FM McKeesport, RadioPhoenix.org, Loudspeaker.FM Fort Collins, Colorado, and slbradio.org/radio.
You call me greasy and full of muck. You play me hard for the easy buck. I bet you see us all like chickens to pluck, but time's running out on you. Yeah, you think me a sucker for the cut of my clothes. You think you're safe, 'cause the poor don't vote. I reckon some will, I reckon some won't, but who's running your water and growing your food, cleaning your clutter and up on your roof, patching your tires and cooking your hops? And there's even a few of us who are firemen and cops. So you better be kind to this rabble, 'cause if you've got my vote or not might be the least of your troubles. Well, my veteran friends, they pitched their tents outside the window of the president. Said, boys, we appreciate your fight for your government, but sons, your bonus ain't nothing but a Cinderella stamp. Yeah, you got a lot of nerve trying to rock my boat. You think you're safe, 'cause the poor don't vote. Well, maybe that's so, but did you consider who's working the farms and churning your butter, hauling the coal you're burning in winter, pumping your gas and killing your hogs, catching all your homeless cats and dogs, keeping your cocaine cheap and your tobacco tall, planting in the spring, harvesting in the fall. Yeah, you better be kind to me, brother, 'cause if you've got my vote or not might be the least of your troubles. Follow the plow, that cyclone coming, don't want no how. On the California border, they're waiting for us with chains and pistols and pipes and clubs. While you're keeping score, no, there's a million more who are running your water and growing your food, cleaning your clutter and up on your roof, hauling your trash, sewing your clothes, watching your kids and paving your roads. Yeah, you better be kind to this rabble, 'cause if you've got my vote or not.